Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. They plunged themselves and all of their descendants and all of creation into sin. Came alienated from God and spiritually dead. And there was no way possible for humanity to rescue themselves from the penalty of their sin, which is eternal separation from God and punishment in hell. The only possible solution to the greatest problem facing humanity was for God to intervene, which He did when He sent His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave the glories of heaven, to come to earth where He clothed Himself with humanity for the very purpose of dying for our sins. Something that He alone was qualified to do. For the one who was an acceptable sacrifice for sin had to, first of all, be sinless. And secondly, He needed to be one of us as well. He needed to be a man. The journey to the cross was set in motion immediately after Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden. And it was some 4,000 years later when Jesus voluntarily went to the cross on our behalf. He wasn't crucified because He was outsmarted by an angry mob or victimized by a powerful religious system that rejected Him. He went to the cross because it was God's plan. There was no other way to deal with sin. It was the cross where our sins were placed to His account. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're told, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Talk about something that's unfair, that our sins would be placed to the account of Jesus who was sinless, and that in turn, for those who trust in Him, that they might be clothed with His righteousness. Romans 6:23 reminds us of the fact that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. Most people believe that they can earn their way to heaven, that they'll be able to do enough good things to offset their sins, or that God will overlook their sins because of their commendable qualities, or perhaps because of who they're related to, or some religious ceremony that they were a part of. But the Bible says otherwise. Romans 3:23 reminds us of the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the singular solution is described in Ephesians 2:8, where we're told that it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Salvation is a heart issue. It's a free gift to those who personally place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of His death on the cross for our sins. Jesus made the claim in John 14:6 when He said that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by Me. He made that claim of exclusivity, that He wasn't merely one of the ways, but rather that He was the only way, the only possible means by which people's sins might be dealt with and that they might have access to God. Salvation isn't automatic, though. While it's offered to everyone, it requires people to accept Jesus' invitation to believe in Him and His provision for their salvation. They must believe the claims of the gospel, to admit that they are a sinner in need of forgiveness and in need of a Savior. There's no doubt about what God's desire is in terms of salvation. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we're told that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus left the glories of heaven. That's why Jesus laid down His life voluntarily at the cross of Calvary and died for our sins. I recall my own journey nearly 50 years ago. I remember as I heard the gospel of salvation explained to me, I wasn't totally persuaded that it was by grace through faith. Oh, I knew full well that I was a sinner. And I knew that Jesus paid the price for sin. But a free gift that simply seemed too good to be true. It was just so in conflict with what I'd learned as a child and as a young person, where I learned that one needs to pay the price for their own sins. They need to earn their way to heaven. And so to hear that salvation was a free gift, it was hard for me to believe that that could be so. And then I discovered a couple of verses in the Gospel of Matthew, repeated as well in the Gospel of Luke. Ask and will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. As I reflected on those verses, I decided that I would simply believe that they represented God's truth, and that I would ask, and that I would knock, and I would seek that God would make these truths very much alive in my heart. And so I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that He was just going to confirm the truth of all of that in my heart. And He simply did that which He said that He would, that everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Sometimes people have a hard time accepting the gospel because it is just so different from what we would expect it to be. Salvation being a free gift, not based on what we do, all of our commendable efforts and qualities and all of those sorts of things. It's not based upon who we're connected to or related to or any of those kind of things. But rather, the simple gospel is that we place our faith and trust in Jesus, seeking His forgiveness for our sins, and He promises that He will forgive those who come to Him, and trusting that His provision at the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago was effective in dealing with our sins, and that one day when our earthly journey is complete, that God is going to welcome us into His heaven, where we'll spend eternity forever because we have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then following that, the choir is going to sing, and I trust that as they do, that you will truly be blessed. Thank you to everyone who's participated here this morning in singing and scripture reading, for Martha for leading us in our music as well. So let's pray. Father, on this Good Friday, as we gather together to remember and to reflect upon the death of Jesus on the cross at Calvary, it really is an event that goes well beyond our comprehension. To understand the fact that Jesus, God Himself, left the glories of heaven to come to earth, where He became one of us for the very purpose of laying down His life at Calvary. And that by doing so, as He was hung upon the cross and our sins were placed to His account, and He experienced the punishment, the wrath of God upon Him for our sins, that all of us who trust and believe in Him and that which He did there, that we are set free from our sin, that we're made spiritually alive, that we become one of Your children, and that one day we're going to spend eternity together with You, face to face with the living God of this universe. Oh, Father, as we leave this place in just a few minutes, we pray, Lord, that these truths would just resonate deep within our hearts, and that they would serve to secure our faith and remind us that we are safe in Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.